direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together and plenty to talk about, and the lines are already filling up, and I love that. So we'll get to your calls fairly quickly, but I did want to mention Pi Day here before it's all over. And as you no doubt know, unless you manage to skip every day of arithmetic, pi is 3.14 and actually out to infinity because it never really stops going. It's the first number that does that. But nonetheless, it represents a constant. It's a ratio. It's the circumference of a circle to its diameter. And while you might have learned that in school and think that doesn't mean anything to me, well, it meant an awful lot to farmers over the years. And when I mean years, I mean, you know, before BC, let's put it that way, where Babylonians, Egyptians, and such all knew about pi. They might not have called it that way, but if they wanted to build a corral around their animals, well, there was a certain distance across. Let's say they wanted a corral that was going to be 5 feet across, or it doesn't matter what it is, whatever. They knew how far they wanted to cross. Now they had to go by fencing, and you always needed a little more than three times that much fencing. And so they might not have called anything fancy, but they knew what to get. And back then, if you looked at that ratio, they were figuring it was somewhere between 3.12 and 3.16. And it was Archimedes of Syracuse, not New York, who first narrowed it down to somewhere between 3.14 and 3.142. Yeah, that's where you get into the fun, because it's the first number you encounter whose digits go on forever without a discernible pattern. And in fact, there's all sorts of picus events, you know, or haiku events, I should say, much like haiku. And in this case, there's actual websites that you can punch in your birthday. Like, let's say you were born on March 13th of 1944, 3-1-4-4-4, and you'll see where that occurs that way in the pi sequence. And so if you want to do that, you can actually go online and do that. Just put my number in pi, and it will come out with that. But nonetheless, a while ago, some enterprising person decided that, well, March 14th, 3.14, that would be Pi Day, and people have been celebrating ever since. And so I usually do the probably the most obvious, have the pizza pie. Tonight it was margarita. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and we are going to kick it off tonight with Bruce in Racine. Bruce, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, Raleigh, such a joy to be on with you.
Oh,
what I really want is I want to hear something out of the Tremaine. You know, maybe the meters, Aaron Neville.
Oh,
who knows?
Okay.
But why I called and what I spoke to John about was I wanted to reminisce about a broadcaster, William Hill, Bill Hill.
Big Bill Hill. You know, his son has a Facebook page for him.
Well, I don't do that stuff.
Well, that's all right.
I'm afraid I'll get my TikTok, and I wouldn't want to have that happen.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, Big Bill was big. He was over 6 feet tall and about 250 pounds, so he was an impressive feature. He came to New York, came to Chicago as a teen. He was born in Arkansas, and he was looking for work. And I think he got something at like a steel mill, and he wanted to be on the radio, but this is, you know, 1932. No one was going going to hire him. So he saved up his money and bought time because there were so many stations that were brokered stations. And initially it was Lady, WLDY in Elmwood, and then later WCRW-AM. And the deal is that he was able, with this time, to really refine his own shtick, as it were. And so,
and it was so good.
Yeah, right, exactly. So in 1955, he debuted the Shopping Bag Show on WOPA. And the OPA, of course, had signed on in 1950, and it was, let's say, signal disadvantageous, to say the least. And so it wasn't long before they realized that they were going to have to sell a dollar a holler time. And, of course, Big Bill Hill was more than willing to buy it. And it was terrific because, in addition to buying the time, and of course, how you survived that was by selling commercials. So he became an overnight businessman, to say the least. And by 1963, he already had a booking agency, a dry cleaners, a management company, and a club.
Amazing.
Copa Cabana, hence for Copa, K-O-P-A. Anyway. He did remotes, you know, even the dry cleaners had remotes. And the deal was that in 1967, it was really a problem because all of this hung together because he was on WOPA, and WOPA decided they were going to change format. And so they went like underground, you know, the precursor to progressive rock. And so what he did was he started a dance show. That was Red Hot and Blues, same name that Dewey Phillips had given his radio show in Memphis years earlier. But that was on WCIU-TV. And that was on the air until 1971, actually, in the show.
Oh, the Waggles,
right.
Get them.
Yeah, and the show that replaced it, everybody knows, because that was Soul Train. So absolutely. He was around, but initially before WOPA, where he was buying the time even there, but before there, he was buying the time anywhere he could, some of the most unlikely stations. But yeah, Big Bill Hill.
Down in the basement on a beat-up orange crate.
Yeah, and you're not online, but there are a lot of air checks of him online, so you can actually still hear him.
Okay, well, I'll catch up maybe someday. Yeah. In the next life.
Right, there you are. That's right. In the next life, hopefully.
I mean, you know, when it's cloud abundance, I'll be right out there with it.
So. Yeah, somewhere in a cloud, yes.
Well, see what kind of meters you can pull out of your vault over there, or maybe your private stuff.
Maybe Sissy Strut, the most popular, just because I like it. But
Get me with it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
You.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
Okay, bye. Yeah, and look happy, that's possible, or sophisticated sissy. There's so many wonderful Meters records, and we will play them. So good to hear from Bruce in Racine. And yeah, Big Bill Hill was a trip. But his son, like I say, has a Facebook page. And sadly, apparently not a lot of people know about this, because I think he only has like 580 members or something like that. So go there and join it, Big Bill Hill. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we go from Bruce in Racine to Bruce in Elmwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Bruce.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing tonight?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, doing okay. A little setback today, but still hanging in there.
Yeah, physically, you mean?
Well, just something didn't set right when I ate it.
Oh, yes, I know. You didn't buy lunch. You leased it. Understood.
Yeah,
up it comes. Yeah, well, this too shall pass. But yeah, it's interesting because, of course, getting better is never a straight line trajectory. You have good days, and then you have a few bad ones in the mist. So hopefully tomorrow will be better.
You know, yeah, we got storms coming in, and that always has affected me my whole life.
You know, I think so. I think probably there's atmospheric pressures that we know nothing about that affect the human body.
Yeah.
I mean, we're mostly water anyway, so why not?
Well, what I wanted to bring up to you, and I don't know if you've seen it, but on Route 66 in Wilmington, they're about to lose the Gemini Giant.
No.
Which is one of the most famous icons on 66 for the whole, for Illinois. It's one of only three giants that were actually made as spacemen, and has stood in the same place since 1965.
Yeah. Well, now, I didn't realize the giant was endangered. It's, I think, the Launching Pad Restaurant is its home. Has the launching pad been sold, or what's going on?
It's a real convoluted mess. It sat for like 10 years and was just falling over, and a couple bought it, restored everything. The giant is there, but he's not technically part of the launching pad.
Well, you know, the Gemini Giant was originally Muffler Man, And there were
But he was there was only three that were actually made as spacemen from the beginning.
Right. No, that's
and
true.
He
but
was
I mean,
one of them.
He obviously started out as Muffler Man, 438 pounds of fiberglass. But yeah.
Yeah.
Then the restaurant, I think, wasn't it originally like Dairy Delight or something?
And yeah, it was.
It became the launching pad. So, well, what's going on? Why is it leaving?
Well, the couple that bought it, they were both widows. I was really, really good friends with them. They actually ran a widows group out of there every Wednesday night for like 3 or 4 years. I met down there and with the owners and the lady that owns it. And there was a bad breakup, and she ended up owning it.
Okay.
And there's an auction, and it's all being auctioned off, everything.
That's interesting.
Except the restaurant and land.
Wasn't it auctioned when that couple bought it? Because I think back like about 2016 or so, the same deal. It had been closed like in 2010, and they auctioned it off, and that couple got it. But now, okay, so the property's been vacant a while. So now we don't know then that our Gemini Giant is going, do we? I mean, we don't know who's going to buy it, right?
Well, no, but... The bid is at $50,000 already, and that's way high. The owner who lives right there says if they don't get the $100,000 for the Giant, she's going to have it destroyed.
Oh, so she's decided the Giant is worth $100,000, and if not, there it goes?
Yeah, it's kind of convoluted, but it boils down to, I don't know if you see the pictures, you'll see her car there, too.
Okay.
She parks in front of the Giant so people can't take pictures of it.
Well, there's some issue about this, and there was a trademark issue about this, and
yeah, there was,
and it was some deal where the trademark was abandoned or something. So anyway, I don't think anybody has the trademark. Somebody, I think, filed for merchandise, but I don't think they got it. So I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if they finished it or not. They're advertising it as selling it with the trademark. But what happened is when they bought it from the second family, the original family sold it.
Right.
The other guy bought it. He walked away. He left the grease in the priors for 7 years, never cleaned it out, nothing.
Okay.
The building was falling over. They made it back into a restaurant, spent all their own money. But the Giant had been sold and was going to get sent to Indiana, but that person didn't pay for it, so it never got moved.
All right. I just looked.
It's not actually part of the launching pad.
Right. I just looked this up. The Gemini Giant is currently offered for sale with the auction closing on March 20th, but potential buyers should be aware that no trademarks or copyright accompany the Gemini Giant, and it must be removed by March 21st. All right. So now that's interesting. I wonder who's decided it must be removed. And apparently there's also an issue that launching pad is also not in any way word marked as far as that goes. I don't know.
No, I don't think it is. When they opened it, nobody in 1965, nobody trademarked stuff back then.
Well, they did. You'd be surprised.
Well, not a couple in Wilmington.
Well,
running a little family business.
Right, right. They probably...
They ran it. Their daughter ran the counter. They ran the thing.
Well, apparently...
The whole thing with the Gemini Giant is because... There's some problems here with the breakup of the two widows.
Yeah.
Very nice widow couple. I knew them really well. I mean, I've seen them every day for years.
Yeah.
But she said the Giant, because people come and take pictures of it, they're taking pictures of a false idol.
Oh, please. Oh, God.
I
got it. Oh, man.
I mean, there's a lot more I could... You can understand what I'm saying, but there's a lot more I could say if it was just you and me. Okay?
Oh, man. So, apparently, the original couple who had the Dairy Delight, the one that opened in 1960, they bought Muffler Man, and they paid $3,500 for Muffler Man at a National Restaurant Association convention. And so...
But he was already an astronaut.
Well, right, but I mean...
He was made off of a Muffler Man, but there was only... The helmet that's on that, there was only three of those helmets ever made.
But what I mean is...
And the other two are destroyed.
It didn't start at the restaurant, is what I'm saying. They bought it, and they moved it to the restaurant. That's why they changed the name of the restaurant from Dairy Delight to the Launching Pad.
Because that was when...
Yeah.
And then they had a contest, and a girl from those grade school named as a Gemini Giant.
Right.
He's been there my whole life. I only live like 5 miles from there.
Yeah.
And I go by him every day, and it's looking, the bid's at $50,000. They're doing a fundraiser. They have a Facebook page, Save the Giant Facebook page and stuff.
Now,
and
are
doing
they
fundraisers at the VFW? And
so the $50,000, that's not for the restaurant. That's for the Giant.
Just the Giant. That's all the restaurant, everything from the inside of the restaurant, the signs, all that's in the auction too, but not the restaurant itself, the building or the property.
Right, right. It's separate and apart. So whoever buys the restaurant doesn't get the Giant, and the owner of the Giant, if she doesn't get the money she wants, she's destroying the Giant. Now, is she destroying the Giant because she thinks it's a false idol, or is she destroying the Giant just because she wants the money?
I think because she thinks it's a false idol.
Well, that's going to be hard to combat.
And she needs the money. I'm sure she does, you know. But she bought the Giant. The Giant was sold separately. I know she paid cash for that Giant.
Yeah, well, so it's her Giant. So I
it's
guess
her
she
Giant.
Can, I guess she can do whatever she wants with said Giant. Now,
and it was a deal.
If someone
so
else
a deal
buys
for the Joliet.
No, here's the deal.
Pardon me?
If someone else buys it, I assume they have to remove it from the launching pad if they're not buying that and put it somewhere else.
Well, it has to be. Yeah, it has to be moved by the that. What did it say, the 21st or 22nd?
Right.
It has to be
well,
moved.
The Giant is heavy. It's 438 pounds, and it's 30
yeah,
foot
Yeah, but that's
tall.
Not that heavy.
Well, you're not going to move it alone, let's put it that way. And where are you putting it?
No.
Now, are there any serious bidders? When I say serious, I mean not only have the money, but they have a place for the Giant?
Well, somebody's bid up to $50,000, but it's anonymous. You only know the bidder by the bidding number on the auction.
Well,
and I'm sure that this organization, they would like to get the money, and about 2 miles away is the VFW. And that's where they're having the fundraisers. Like today they had hot dog dinners and stuff. They would like to move it to the VFW.
That would be very good. I think the Giant would like that.
But somebody's got to buy it first.
Right, and donate it.
And donate it, yeah.
Yeah. So
they're contacting all kinds of people. Dan Aykroyd, you know, the Blues Brothers. We're big Blues Brothers up this way.
Right.
But, I mean, he's been sitting there since 1965, and it's not looking like he's going to sit there another 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Well, maybe there's some company that will be willing to buy him if they can, like, put him in a jersey with their logo on it or something. You know, maybe there's a marketing plan for the Giant. I don't think the Giant would mind.
Yeah. He was actually in the miniature of him was in the Rose Bowl parade this year.
Yeah. So this
he's been on Mountain Dew cans. And
yeah, this is a real thing, yeah. Well, see, Mountain Dew should buy him. There you go.
Well, they've contacted him.
Good.
They're contacting anybody they can right now.
Well, hopefully something will come of it, because I'd hate to see it just destroyed.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted.
I think it's probably going to get bought and moved.
Let's hope.
Out of state, but I mean,
Well, I mean, as
I'd
like it to remain on Route 66, but right now beggars can't be choosers. Keep me posted.
Well, there is a place in Braidwood that we've heard is bidding on it, and there's another that's called the Polka Dot Drive-In. They've been around for years and years, so it would move about 10 miles to that.
All right, and put a little polka dots on that green uniform, maybe so.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. Appreciate
for letting
it.
Me talk about it.
Oh no, the Gemini Giant. Well, this is a travesty. 888-876-5593. We got Don, we got Cindy, we got Jimmy P. I'll get to him next, because Jimmy P doesn't hang on forever. I know that. So right after the news, hang in there, Jimmy P. And James and the stories. Yeah, we didn't get much time with James last night, and I came up with a few of his stories that are just interesting. All right, so all this and more right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'll make a better file of that. That's from a single Enterprise in 1975. And of course, it's the Meters. I don't think that's what Bruce from Racine had in mind, but I couldn't resist it. It was a lot of fun they had on that session. And, you know, the Meters started in 65, and they actually were the house band for Sansu, Alan Toussaint's record label and the studio. And so they were behind just about everybody. And Art Neville, keyboardist, recruited a bunch of his friends, and they were doing that. And then at the end of the 60s, they came out with Sophisticated Sissy and then Sissy Strut, which became R&B hits. And you had a number of people along the way, including the oldest Neville brother, Cyril, Art's brother, who joined the band in 75 as a percussionist, and they had a lot of fun in 75 doing They All X'd for You at the Audubon Zoo. And they disbanded in 79, and then they got back together again. And I think the Funky Meters is what they were called in the 90s. So nonetheless, love the Meters and always love They All X'd for You. But boy, that file has seen better days. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Jimmy P. on the South Side. How's it going tonight, Jimmy P.?
How you doing, Raleigh? Thanks for taking my call.
Always.
Yeah, I called last night, then circumstances, I had a hang up. But for that lady, that I think that dancer was Eleanor Powell.
Okay.
And I did celebrate. I got a pizza from Nick and Vito's on South Pulaski in Chicago. If anybody's out there listening.
All right. So Pi Day celebrated in style.
And if you would, I've got a six-pack request. If you take it, please.
All right. Let's hear them.
All right. Number one is If I Could Be With You Tonight by the Diablos.
Okay.
Number two is Sugar, Don't Take Away My Candy by the Jive Five.
Yep.
Number three, A Love So True by the Nutmegs.
Okay.
Number four, My Dearest Darling by the Cleftones.
Okay.
Number five, Dancing the Strand by Maureen Gray.
Oh, sure. Big Philadelphia hit.
And number five, my old favorites, The Fabulous Painted Pictures, Spaniels. Painted Pictures.
All right. You got them.
All right. I know I'm going to hang up now, but thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Always good to hear from you. Thanks.
All right.
So, yes, probably tomorrow night we will give Jimmy P. his six-pack. And might start tonight. It's hard to tell. All right. So 888-876-5593 brings us to 8888-Raleigh. And Don in Beloit, what's happening tonight, Don?
Hey, Raleigh. How's it going?
All right. What's happening?
Well, I like it that, you know, with your show and your fun listeners, you know, you get to hear Johnny Taylor one night and Larry Darnell the next night, and and then we get to hear about Irrational Numbers.
Yes.
So you talked about Pi. I'm going to put my vote out there for Square Root of 2, another famous mathematics number, which is often shorted for the folks at home. It's often shortened to 1.1414, but
yes,
they've calculated Square Root of 2 out to 10 trillion digits.
Yes, exactly. I think after 41, 42, 135, 623, and after that, I'm not sure. 730, I think. But, yeah.
Well, you learn about everything on your show, Raleigh. That's what I got to say. You know?
Yes, and totally useless knowledge.
Yeah, no. In a lifetime of learning, it makes a difference.
I'm not sure what anybody's using the square root of 2 for, but I'm sure there's some, you know, at least I knew about pi and the chorale, but...
Oh, these are all important to study and so on, and engineering or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I want to go back to one of our conversations in December. This local musician that died, right? This you did so well speaking about him. This Tim Skinny Sticks Scott, you know.
Uh huh.
This local Rockford jazz blues drummer.
Right.
Yeah. So loved by everybody. He played with everybody in the area. Ever since he was a little kid, he knew he was going to be a musician. He was into bands when he was just a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And met so many of his friends. Anyway, you spoke so highly. I know his friends and family really thank you so much for speaking up. And they had a huge, fundraiser at that Mary's place, you know, the Bunny Carlos's house band place.
Good.
Yeah. And you referenced this Rockford Rock and Roll Institute, and his fundraising did so good that they made several scholarships for several young aspiring drummers and young kids, and they do these camps and classes in his name now there.
That's great.
So if anybody wants to like just Google Skinny Sticks Scott, you know, that it's got a link to his GoFundMe page
to
do all these things.
Right.
It really did a great. It really made a huge difference, and they really are so thankful that you spoke up about it.
My pleasure, absolutely. And you know, sadly, there are so many unsung heroes, people like Skinny, who never get their due. And so, what's sad is that Skinny wasn't with us to talk about it, unfortunately. And that's my bad that I didn't bring him up. And so many like him, nobody exactly like him, obviously, but so many similar situations across the country, because I mourn for how many great people are out there that we're never going to hear of. So being able to mention him is my honor, to say the least. But again, it's great for the kids who will go to camp, the music camps through the Rock and Roll Institute. But I wish he had been with us to celebrate.
Yeah, I don't know if you, I know you did a little bit of this maybe last night, but if you could play some early Raspberries maybe, because so many people are talking about
Eric Carmen. I promised I would do something at least, so I will.
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't stick with the later hits. I would go with the early stuff, but that's just me.
Well, I'll go with whatever's on this computer. But
yeah. And if you could play anything by James Brown, you know, something unusual maybe or something, that'd be cool too.
All right. Other than the James Brown polka, of course. All right.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
well, you have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. So 888-876-5593. We got Cindy. We got James. We're going to talk to James about all of his stories for sure. And Brian and Seneca, I believe, was celebrating Pi Day, so we'll hear what he had in mind. So there's room for you, too, though, 888-876-5593, which is 8888-ROLLYE. Now I'll talk about the CC Skywave 2. Yeah, this is a great addition to your radio arsenal. And it's from the Sea Crane Company, so you know the one thing it has in common with everything else Bob Crane developed, it has superior reception, AM and FM. And this is a neat little, you know, I won't say pocket radio, but certainly a travel radio is something you can pretty much hold in your hand easily. And it has AM and FM, and like I say, terrific reception on both. It's got the shortwave band, and some of them anyway. And great, by the way, new for this version of the CC Skywave 2 is they've got a great jack where you can put a shortwave antenna in there that will noticeably improve the reception there, which is easy. But the other thing, it's got the aviation band. Yeah, so if you want to know what pilots and air traffic control are doing, you'll hear it for yourself. I always have to warn you that that's not legal in every country, but certainly it is in this one, and you can hear it to your heart's content. It operates on a couple AA batteries for up to 70 hours, and even if you don't care that much about the shortwave band, which is a lot of fun, or you don't care that it's got the NOAA weather alarms and warnings, so you'll always know when inclement weather is on its way. Maybe you don't care about anything but AM and FM. Well, it's still a terrific little radio. It's got digital readout. It's got a clock and an alarm and a timer and all those kind of things, but and presets, and you can dial things in directly, or you can move in 1 kilohertz increment tuning. And the other thing is, it's got, which I like, on AM, both 9 and 10 kilohertz tuning. So when you're in foreign countries, you know, we in America, we use 10 kilohertz, so that's why things are at 720 and 730 and 740 and all that. But in most countries around the world, it's 9 kilohertz increments. So it may be 540 and then 549 and 558 and like that. And so you have a digital radio. If it doesn't have 9 kilohertz capability, you're never going to hear the stations. Well, with this, no matter where you are going to hear the station. And you're also going to know what's going on when your flights are delayed. So it's really easy to use. You can read all about it at the Sea Crane Company. The only thing is that the new CC SkyWave 2 is in limited supply. So if you're interested, I'd say go look at it now. You can go online, ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and go look for the CC SkyWave Radio 2. If you can't go online, they got the world's best customer service. You can buy one on the phone, or you can also just ask for a catalog to be sent to you, and they will. 800-522-8863, 800-522-8863. T-U-N-E. Be prepared, stay connected, and have fun with the CC SkyWave 2. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Yeah!
Raleigh James, and that's an almost perfect record. I'm not sure what I do to make it better. It's so good, though, just the way it is. That's the Meter, Sissy Strut, 1969 on Josie, and just like they all asked for you a few years later, they wrote it, had fun writing it, and Alan Toussaint and Marshall Seahorn produced it, and their publishing company, Marsant, published it. So there you have it on Josie. Yeah, and that was back when stations were still very often meeting network news, so they had to back time records at the top of the hour, and invariably it would be an instrumental. And so if you never heard the open, I know you've heard the close if you were listening to the radio back then. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. Okay, Cindy has officially sold her home. All right, good deal. So it's over, huh?
I guess the real estate said that it's not official until all the papers are signed and the fat lady sings.
Right.
But anyhow, I mean, it's going to go. So today I looked at a condo in 60656. It's like two blocks north of Norridge.
I thought you already found... Wait. I thought you told us you already found the condo you wanted.
Well, I went and looked at it.
Oh, I see.
But it was too small. There's no room... For my dining room, it looked bigger on the website.
All right, so you went and looked at this one. Is this the one you were thinking about before?
No, that one was too small, too.
Okay, so this one is too small as well?
Yeah, there's other ones. There's other ones for like $10,000 cheaper that are way bigger. And
okay.
You know, I have about 5 weeks to 2 months to find a place.
All right.
The closing is April 23rd.
Okay.
But two other things I want to talk to you about. Maybe the first thing I want to talk about is the chiropractor. I have had the chiropractic school out in Lombard. I forgot what it was. I haven't been there in years. And they're not really I think you talked about this. They're not really officially like old-fashioned chiropractor?
Well, it's National Institute of Health Sciences, so you would have naturopathic and acupuncture and massage therapy and chiropractic and biomedical. So you have a number of disciplines there.
Yeah, but I don't believe in alternative medicine. I think it's all thought. They analyzed it, finally analyzed it, and they said it's either flour or sawdust.
Right, well, whatever. You can certainly find a good chiropractor. It may take you a while to get the right person, but I don't know.
One time I had this chiropractor. I went, to Northern Illinois University for, CPA books to study for it. I went all the way out there, and while I was walking across campus, the cartilage came out of my knee.
Ugh.
And I drove all the way. I just drove straight to the chiropractic school out in Lombard from there. And I said, it's an emergency. And this chiropractor took my leg and got the cartilage back in my knee in 1 minute.
Okay.
I mean, I believe in the chiropractor 100%.
Absolutely.
I believe they're your only true friend.
Well, it really depends more on the provider themselves. There are some absolutely great ones, and then there are some ones where you say, I'd rather not. So if you find a great one, that's terrific.
The one I have now, I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know. I've just been going for massage mostly. Mm-hmm. But the one I have now, he pretty much shoots with the staple gun, thing.
No, he uses an activator, not a staple gun.
I told someone, he shoots with a gun, and
Many people prefer that, actually. But hang on a minute,
yes.
don't go away. Because it can be much more gentle than actual physical manipulation. So don't go away, Cindy. I promise we'll pick it up. We'll hear all about James's stories and Brian from Seneca. Oh, we're going to get back to pie. We have to do that pie day. So don't go away, Brian. Stay where you are. And hopefully you'll call, too, next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Came along, boy, and took my hand. Oh, you loved and comforted me, and I ain't no misery. Oh, baby,
guess that don't make me.
Even though you're gone,
guess that don't make me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, that's Ruby Andrews. Yeah, Casanova, you'll play, and Days Are Over, who did that, of course, on Zodiac. This also was on Zodiac, and she turned 77 yesterday, so happy birthday to Ruby Andrews, who's still with us. And Brothers of Soul, of course, had a hit with that in 1968 on Boo, and the trio wrote it. Well, the trio also recorded it with Ruby, so there was a connection there between Boo and Zodiac and Ruby. So happy, happy birthday, Ruby. All right, so 888-876-5593. I promised Cindy we'd finish it up, so you got to wrap it up. We're moving over from chiropractic to what?
Okay, well, I want to talk about, there's two things I want to talk about. The one thing in a few seconds. Wendy's is down, 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 and Burger King is up, up, up.
All right, that's your opinion. What's next?
And well, I mean, as far as like the money they're earning.
Yep. Okay. So what's next?
And then I went to private Lutheran college, Concordia University in River Falls, and I made no friends there. And I don't know why people want to be that way, but it's like everyone was so screwed up in the head in double entendre.
Well,
and you couldn't say anything to anyone without them saying, "I don't know." It's like, why are you going, you know, like, if I don't know something.
Okay, Cindy, that was a long time ago, and you survived it. So put it out of your mind, forget about it, and look forward to finding a new condo, and call me soon. Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. All right, so what do we have here? Brian. Brian is in Seneca. All right, Brian, what's up tonight?
Greetings from the far southwest side of Chicago, Raleigh.
Yes, indeed.
And to your farther southwest side of Chicago, which I kind of envy you for right now, even if my weather's actually pretty decent. But the point I had was kind of a joke, actually. We're working up to Pi Day.
Yes.
In another 45 minutes or so in the Central Time Zone. But there's also another unique number in mathematics that you usually run into in high school algebra 2 or college algebra 2 called the imaginary number.
Right.
Which is the square root of negative 1.
Right.
Because if you multiply the imaginary number by pi, say that three times fast.
Okay.
And you get imaginary pi.
Okay.
All of the flavor with none of the calories.
I love that. That's great. That's absolutely great.
And for a little bit different of a bumper, I wanted to request Hound Dog, but not Elvis Presley.
No, Big Mama Thornton.
Exactly.
And I were going to play that, too.
Now,
mind you,
Big Mama Thornton got that from the ancient Mississippi trove of knowledge of Lieber and Stoller in that far funky Mississippi backwater of the Brill Building.
Well, no, actually, it didn't happen like that. Well, in the Brill Building, I'll tell you exactly how it happened. It was Johnny Otis. Johnny Otis called the boys, and they were boys then. They were quite young, as you know, and said, "Do you know Big Mama Thornton?" And they both said, "No." He said, "Well, you need to get over here because I need material for this woman." And so they went over. This is Los Angeles, not the Brill Building. And they wrote Hound Dog. And what was so funny about this, of course, it was a big hit, R&B. It was not a pop hit, but it was number one on the R&B charts for 7 weeks. So it did well. But what was funny about this is a few years later, Stoller had gone on some cruise in Europe with his, I don't know if she was a newlywed or whatever, but his wife. In any event, he comes back, and here is Lieber meeting him at the dock, you know, saying, "Remember Hound Dog? Well, Elvis did it." And Jenna Stoller, much like they said, "Who's Mama Thornton?" said, "Who's Elvis?" And so it's a true story.
Well, back in the day, that was Who's Elvis.
Of course it was. Well, of course it was.
Elvis was Elvis.
Well,
you know, it's like...
I would beg to differ. He was Elvis, but they didn't know it. I mean, he had some stuff out on Sun long before Hound Dog.
Granted, it's not quite the same thing as what I'm about to bring up, but it's like Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's greatest songs are some of the greatest songs you ever heard recorded. Some of his other stuff, it sounds like some guy thinks he's Bob Dylan or something.
Well, I think when you write that much music that you wind up with a Nobel Prize in Literature, you're probably going to have some dogs in the group.
Especially if you're smoking your own supply while you're singing.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I can't comment either way. There's a few things that I liked that he wrote, but for the most part, I was not a fan.
Well, I'm talking more about the performance than the writing of the song.
Well, then absolutely I wasn't a fan.
Yeah. Well, there's some versions of some Dylan songs that were actually, you know, good on their own merits. They showed why Dylan got the reputation he got. But a lot of them, he mailed them in. It's just like, the guy who played Vito Corleone in The Godfather.
Wouldn't know. Now you're completely out of my wheelhouse. I don't know who played anything in any movie.
Okay, well, we're the only two people in the 38 states and parts of Canada who are having a who are not having total brain fart on.
Well, I'm definitely not, because I can't recall what I never knew.
Yeah. Well, he was also an on the waterfront. But the point is, it's one of those things where when they're on their A game, they're brilliant. When they're not on their A game, they're acting like they think they're who they are.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, I think it's all a matter of personal opinion, and you like it or you don't. That's the way I look at it. So I don't try to analyze it. I don't go for that. But
definitely so.
All right, glad you called. Thanks.
Thanks. Take care. Right,
so as far as Elvis on Sun, it was a flip side of the first thing that they released that probably was the first thing he was known for, and that was Good Rockin' Tonight in 54. And, of course, then That's All Right, also in Mystery Train. So all of this is, and we could go on and on before we get to Hound Dog, which, obviously was quite the hit. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And that, let's see, Dave in LaSalle has requests. All right, Dave, what do you want to hear?
Hi, Raleigh. I know you got a full boat going on requests, but I'll leave it with you anyhow, one or two here. One is My Heart Belongs to Only You by the Standards.
Oh, okay.
And another one here, I think it's a great note. It's called My Lost Love by the Webtones. And you can straighten this out if anybody can, but I think some of these guys went on to be the Damn Lears. I'll listen, whenever you find out about that.
All right.
And I'm enjoying your show tonight. It's good.
So, always good to hear from you. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, bye. Okay. All right, so now, with that in mind, we have a first-time caller, and I try to defer to first-time callers because they're not always as patient. And we have Kenneth, and Kenneth is from Downers Grove. So welcome to WGN Radio. Kenneth. Well, I guess Kenneth wasn't as patient after all, even for that. Kenneth hung up. I think he wanted to hear some Ernest Tubb. Well, he'll have to call back, won't he? All right. Sorry about that, Kenneth. Yeah, it takes a while sometimes. Got to wait. All right. So with that, what do I have? Oh. Well, we'll get to Jim in Richmond and Carl in Chicago and James and the stories. Yeah, there's some killer stories this time, too, including the entire staff that walked out. You know, one thing when one employee says, take this job and shove it. Another thing when the entire staff, including management, puts a sign on the door, we are closed because we've all quit. Well, they did. All that more coming up on WGN Radio.
I want to live.
Weekend Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, no one's ever requested the standards before, so I had to get that on. Yeah, My Heart Belongs to Only You. Not the original, of course, but it was before Bobby Vinton. And that was actually on Magma, and then it was on, after that, on Chess. And it didn't do anything no matter where. But the first group to do it was actually Betty McLaurin and the Eddie Wilcox Orchestra. And that was in 1952. And then June Christie did it, and a bunch, B.B. King did it. Yeah. A bunch of other people, too, including Jackie Wilson on an album cut in 61, and Vic Dana on Dalton in 64. And then same year comes Bobby Vinton, which, of course, becomes the big hit. But I thought the standards were great. Now, I know absolutely nothing about them. I mean, complete. I don't know anything about the Magna label either. M-A-G-N-A. Couldn't tell you. But obviously they didn't have distribution. Enter Chess. And even with distribution, apparently it didn't help. So, still nice. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. All right. We got Carl in Chicago. What's going on tonight, Carl?
I'm profoundly depressed, Raleigh.
No. What?
A freak accident. A friend of mine's wife was in her, got out of her their Jeep and stumbled over the curb and broke her leg.
Mm.
Went to the hospital and died.
Oh, no. How old?
76.
Oh, wow. And died?
She was in the hospital. She had the surgery to repair her leg.
Oh, you're right.
And when she was in her room eating, she aspirated some food.
Oh no!
And by the time they cleared her airway, she had a heart attack and a stroke.
Oh.
And they had her on a ventilator, and it seemed like she was coming around a little bit. She was responding to commands like "squeeze my hand" and things like this, and "move your toes."
Yeah.
And when they kept trying to wean her off the ventilator, and she couldn't breathe on her own. And I'm trying to understand, all of her friends are trying to understand why they didn't keep her on the ventilator any longer, because I've read a couple of articles, and the brain can recover if you give it some time. And I've heard some people have been on ventilators for like 100 days, and they had her on a ventilator for a little less than a week, and then they decided they're going to try to pull her off the ventilator and see what happened, and she couldn't breathe on her own, and she died.
Yeah, they were trying to wean her off, I suppose. Now, I would guess she went in there without a DNR, without a do not resuscitate, so they were using all means, and this was just probably one of those things where they were trying to wean her off, and, you know, it was a cascade of horrors. You know, you hear these things, and the first thing you say, and it sounds so empty, but it's so true, thank God she's in a better place, because she was facing a lot of things, but this is really when you sort of say, well, there are times that it's just up to powers bigger than me, and rest in peace. But in terms of why they were trying to wean her off, I don't know at what stage, obviously, she went into cardiac arrest, but trying to wean somebody off is a natural process. I assume that if she hadn't gone into cardiac arrest and if she couldn't breathe on her own, they would have kept her on the ventilator.
Right.
So this was a series of complications, and it's just...
Horrible. In the back of my mind, I just wonder why they didn't give her like a month on a ventilator to see if her brain could recoup and her breathing could come around, but...
Well, I think
a lot that I don't know, so, you know.
I would think if they didn't try to wean her off, they wouldn't know. You see?
Yeah, but when they tried to wean her off, she couldn't breathe on her own, so they put her back on.
Right.
But my question is, how much can the brain regenerate itself?
Well, again, I don't know that it's a bad idea to try and see having weaning someone off. And then if it doesn't work, like you say, you put them back on the vent. And in this case, just between, you know, those moments, she went into cardiac arrest. So I'm not 100% sure. And God knows I couldn't be an armchair quarterback on that one. But, you know, it's sad. And it's always a shock when someone dies suddenly for those of us left behind. But it's always a blessing for the person going. No one's ever said, "Dear Lord, let me linger."
Right. And it might be a blessing that she did pass, because she might have had a terrible...
Could have had anything. You just don't know. I mean, the list is endless. Could it be anything? So this is one where, at least in my mind, I say there's a bigger power at work, and I truly believe the soul goes on. So rest in peace.
Yeah, but if you could give me a couple of cheering up songs,
what would cheer you up?
There's one song I remember. I'm 78 now. I remember back in the 50s, my friend came over with a record, Flying Saucer, Part 1 and 2, that
thought
were real funny at the time.
Yes,
pretty comical.
Drop-in records, Buchanan and Goodman, right.
Yeah, and and Buzz, Buzz, Buzz goes the Bumblebee.
Okay.
That was kind of a cheery little song that...
All right. All right. We'll try to get you both of them.
Raleigh, I appreciate it, and you have a good show. Keep doing your things.
All right, my condolences.
Okay, thank you very much. You take care.
You too. That's tough. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large and get back to you right here on WGN Radio. And yes, those are the Hollywood Flames and Buzz, Buzz, Buzz. And that's on the Ebb label. And the Hollywood Flames are actually on a lot of labels, truth be known. And that probably is the closest they came to a hit. They were originally the Flames in the 40s, and then there were the Four Flames and the Hollywood Four Flames and the Ebb Tides and the Satellites. Well, they were on the Satellite label, okay, just like that. But they were also on Money and Swing Time and a bunch. But when they were on Ebb, they wound up with a big hit, Buzz, 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 which actually was probably covered to more sales, although not as a single, than the original, because it was covered by everybody, including Huey Lewis and the News. But Lee Roop, who I think was related to Art Roop, and I don't know how, had Ebb. So I assume this is somehow part of the specialty deal. I could probably look that up. But anyway, I know Carl wanted to hear something happy, and we'll try for Buchanan and Goodman. And there's stories there too, but there's a lot of stories about one of the other requests we had, and that was the story. Is it the Dan Lears, or is it? Wait a minute. What am I doing here? Excuse me. I'll be off the air in a moment if I don't figure this out. So hang on here. Sooner or later. Yeah, never mind. I guess we're going to stay here. The Ebb Tones, and the answer is yes and no. And we'll explain it fully, assuming I'm able to explain anything before it's over. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And what does Jim in Richmond have to say for himself? How are the eyes doing, Jim?
I went to the doctor today.
Yes.
But I wanted to make a comment on what you made. I think it was last night. You said you and John sit there and you 1 to 100 and you say you're both 30.
Yeah.
When I walk into the doctor's office and it's a bad day, the nurse always says, "How are you?" And I go, "I'm here, but I'm not all there."
Right. It's true.
And that gets a laugh out of all of them.
Yeah.
But And I enjoy your show, by the way. I listened the last two nights, and Monday night you mentioned Jim from Richmond, but I waited till today to call.
I'm so glad you did. And so now tell me, how did the appointment go?
Well, on the 28th, I got a shot of Kenalog in the eye.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to wait 2 weeks to see the glaucoma guy today.
Uh-huh.
And unlike the last two visits, it really didn't shoot the pressures way up like
good.
It did the last two times.
Good.
And
good.
There was, I think it was 17 and 15.
Hey, that's perfect.
And, well, I was 14 and 22, and 22 is the eye that I don't see out of anyways.
Yeah.
So it was good the last time, but he was worried it was going to get up to like 25 and 23 or something.
Yeah, it's good.
But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And when I talked to the doctor and when I got the Kenalog shot, I said, I'm going to be a cancer patient. How much time do I have left? And he got stunned that I asked a question like that. Well, we're just going to give you a Kenalog shot, and then 4 weeks later, a Aaliyah shot, and 4 weeks later, we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I stunned him.
Yeah.
And then today, when I was at the glaucoma specialist, I said to him, can you give me a pair of heavy magnifying glasses to help me see? Kind of like Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he goes, no, that won't even help your vision.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then, so that's how today went. And I just have some very, very great news.
Yeah.
For the last month, when I'm feeling really down, I listened to Toby Keith's last song, Don't Let the Old Man In.
Uh-huh.
And then when I listen to that, I go, I ain't going to die. I'm not going to let it happen.
There you go.
So then I have three sons.
Uh-huh.
I have a 13-year-old grandchild I've never met. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter I never met. And then my youngest son, who the other two won't even speak to me, but my youngest son, we've been talking for a while. And on March 2nd, I have my grandson named Rock, R-O-C-H.
Oh.
And I've been over the moon.
Yeah.
So.
And so where is Rock?
Rock is in Miami.
Ah.
And I joked to my son. I said, he's the only true resident of Miami. You two are, you know.
Yeah.
They just got there. And then my son turned to me and he says, well, I'll even go better. I was born in Illinois, and his mother was born in Massachusetts.
All right. So, and
so how's that to explain to your son?
Why not? Know? Rock was born in Miami. You know? Which hospital do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
But it was a problem because she was in labor and she couldn't and fully dilated, and the baby wouldn't come, so they had to do emergency surgery, and it found out that his umbilical cord was wrapped twice around his neck.
Ooh, you know, that happens more, not commonly, but it happens more often than you'd know. But hopefully it was a good outcome, and he's fine.
Right, and he was in the NICU because he aspirated with umbilical fluid.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but like I said, I'm over the moon because I've been involved with this grandchild.
Yeah, well, great.
You know?
Maybe you'll get to go to Miami and see him.
My friend who drives me around here, we've been friends for 17 years. She turns to me and we were talking in a restaurant, and she goes, okay, when am I putting you on a plane? With a sign on the front of you and a sign on the back, visually impaired, please help this person.
Oh, see, no, I thought she was just going to get on I-65, go to Nashville, get on I-24, go to Chattanooga, get on 75, go to the Sunshine State Parkway, and take you to Miami.
Right, but she is excellent. She is 73, has never been on a prescription medicine, and she does massages for all the people in her town of Whitewater.
That's great.
And she's been just still doing this, you know.
That's
and,
great.
And then there was something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, when I was in grade school, in a Catholic school where there were only eight classrooms right above the church,
mm-hmm.
we had a nun in 66 that turned to all of us and said, you better watch out, because by the time you guys retire, 50% of the nation is going to be over 65.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to and the country is going to go bankrupt.
Oh, jeez.
Well, yesterday, on I don't know if it was John Williams' show mm-hmm. or if it was Bob Surratt show, a man came on the radio and he was talking about things, and he said this year will be the first time that it's the largest number of 65-year-olds will be born. I mean, will hit.
yeah, turn 65, the baby boomers, yes.
Right, and this is the largest number ever to hit it.
Yeah.
So then I go, we all better watch what the next politicians are doing, because some of them are saying cut Social Security, but I get aggravated when they call it entitlement. I'm not entitled to Social Security. I earned it.
Yeah, I took it out of your money, that's for sure. And the baby boomers peak in 65, just numerically speaking. I think the more important mm-hmm. number is how much are they paying out versus how much are they bringing in. And that's a somewhat different equation. But I don't think you have much to worry. A lot of people say, oh, I'm worried they'll cut Social Security. You know, Social Security, when you get right down to it, along with Medicare, is 15-point-something percent of the paycheck if you add both the employer and employee portions. And that's on the mm-hmm. first dollar. There's no such thing as like exemptions or anything like that. And so you know darn well they don't want to lose that. And if suddenly they cut Social Security, all the people who are paying in now are going to say, whoa, Nelly. So don't worry. I think you're mm-hmm. perfectly fine there. It would be a PR nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're good.
Yes. And have you ever heard Toby Keith's song?
Yes.
And I listen to that and I go, I'm not ready.
Yeah, don't let the old man in. And mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. All right, and I think he performed that last year on the People's Choice Awards. I'm not sure, but I think so.
That was his last performance, and he sang it to his wife.
Well, there you have it. All right, mm-hmm. good deal. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Jim. Keep me posted.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And I love your show.
Great to have you. Thanks. All right,
bye-bye.
So it's a pretty good eye report. Nice pressures, like that. We get to Lee and Marcus Hook. We got James on the south side. Like I say, got a couple of stores I want to talk with James about, including the entire staff quitting. That's just priceless. And Andrew in Chicago. But I want to get to the web tones coming up because, the Dan Lears, like I say, yes and no. All right, we'll try to eliminate the confusion coming up on WGN Radio.
Some people find a strong love. Some people find a true love. But I'm still searching for my love. I've been to all the old places, I've asked all my old friends, where did my lost love be? Darling, wherever you are, I want you to know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it may take a Venn diagram, but let's see if we can do it. First, this is the Webtones, My Lost Love on MGM. All right, now, let's go back to the Dan Lears, because that was the question. From Brooklyn, who got together in school, high school, as usual. And it was Jimmy Weston who did lead and some other guys, and they started this group. They hadn't even named them yet, and they got a manager. And the manager was Danny Webb. And he liked what he heard, so he promptly signed them and named them after himself, the Dan Lears. And then, shortly thereafter, he had another group the Webb Tones, also named after him, because after all, he was Danny Webb. So we have the Dan Lears and the Webb Tones, and the Webb Tones he got on MGM, and the Dan Lears, he knew Bill Lasley, Webb did, of Amp 3, and so that's where the Dan Lears went up. But unfortunately, when it came time for the record to be released, it didn't say Dan Lears, it said Dand Lears. It had an extra D in there, Dand Lears, because the woman taking over taking the information over the phone, it was somewhat garbled. So the Dand Lears was what it said on the label. Now, allegedly, big alleged here, that Danny Webb wrote One Summer Night, and the other song they recorded that night, Wheelin' and Dealin'. Jimmy Weston, the lead singer, said, "I beg to differ, I wrote those songs." So who knows? In any event, what happened was after One Summer Night, the Dan Lears, D or not, could not get another hit. They couldn't even get airplay. And so, you know, they were on the strength of One Summer Night, getting things on like Dick Clark's Saturday Night Beach Jut Show and all of the, you know, package deals and all that. And they were at the Howard Theater with Bo Diddley and the Flamingos and the Pearls and all this. And they were part of Alan Freed's Labor Day show. And the Dan Lears were doing great, except they could not get another hit record. And Cleve Duncan of the Penguins, and as you know, the Penguins were signed to Mercury, as were the Dan Lears, by the way, after One Summer Night. And Cleve said, you know, they're not very good about promoting records. Well, the Platters might differ, but certainly the Dan Lears didn't. So the Dan Lears, on their Mercury contract, sans hits, breaks up. And so here is Danny Webb, and he says, well, to Jimmy Weston, the lead singer of the Dan Lears, we can put you together with the Webb Tones. It'll be in like a new yeah, right. So then Jimmy Weston goes with the Webb Tones, but the Webb Tones existed, and they form a new Dan Lears ultimately. So the bottom line is none of that worked. Webb got the reorganized Dan Lears, who used to be the Webb Tones, some of them, on Epic. And they released a couple things, but again, it just didn't do anything. So that was the deal of the combination between the Webb Tones and the Dan Lears. The original Webb Tones who did the song we played, no, those weren't the Dan Lears. But the later Dan Lears were the Webb Tones because the rest of the Dan Lears said, I've had enough of this. All right, I hope you took notes. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And Leah is in Marcus Hook. What's happening tonight, Leah?
Oh, not much. How are you?
I can't complain. Tell me about it. What's going on?
Well, I called because the gentleman who called about the ventilator and was asking you why they didn't keep her on longer. And the only thing I can think of is, like, I was thinking about when it happened to my father, and they kept him on the ventilator for a really long time and then couldn't be weaned off. And they told me that the longer they keep someone on a ventilator, the harder it is to wean them off. And I think that's maybe why they didn't keep her on longer, because they thought it would be harder to wean her off.
Makes sense. And again, I don't want to second guess the medical staff, but I assume the goal was obviously to get her in a point where she wouldn't be dependent, and unfortunately she went into cardiac arrest. Good call. Thank you, Leah.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good deal. We have another hour to go. Hopefully we'll go with you. We'll definitely go with James and with Andrew on WGN Radio.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real.
Real, well, I feel what my heart can't conceal.
That was the Clatters recording. Too real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam. Would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Get back in the air.
Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar. What would you do, sir?
I'm gonna take a walk down the lonely street.
Thank you. We return you now.
This is Brunt, your outer space disc jockey, with a request for Earth.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
That was the Pelican's outer space recording Earth. I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed.
We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmould of the British Institute. The professor is approaching a saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you now.
Yes, and usually part two is what's played, so I figured we'd play part one since it isn't played as often, but it was Carl, we're trying to cheer up, who requested Flying Saucer, Buchanan and Goodman, of course, and yeah, it was interesting. It came out on the Universe label until they discovered that there was one, so both Buchanan and Goodman sat there with black pens for days writing an L in front of the Universe to put it on the Luniverse label, and that's how that came to be. And of course, Dickie Goodman especially went on for years and years with Break In Records. Yeah, and sadly took his own life many years ago in, I think, in Augusta. And that was sad. He used to pal around with George Goldner. Yeah, they both had the racetrack addiction. But nonetheless, it was good time. Of course they got sued for that. You knew they would. And so the next record was Buchanan and Goodman on trial. But I don't remember how that turned out, but ultimately fine. So 888-876-5593. Nick is in Baltimore. What's happening, Nick?
Hey, good morning, Rolly.
How are you?
Thanks. Oh, I'm doing great. I had a question about internet, but I wanted to ask you a question about the record you just played. When they did that back in the 60s, right, how did they... I guess you couldn't get away with that today because of the rights and all that.
You couldn't get away then. That's why I say that Buchanan and Goodman on trial. They were sued to hell and back.
Oh, that's what you... Okay.
Yeah, no, you couldn't get away with it.
So they did it without...
They didn't ask anybody.
Oh.
No, they didn't get any rights. Absolutely not. And it was the publishers who filed the suits, not the record labels. And it was, of course, Bill Buchanan and Dickie Goodman. And... And Bill is the radio announcer in that, and, you know, as far as that goes. And they were, you know, it was just a simple reel-to-reel tape recorder and all that kind of stuff. But remember, this is July of 1956. It's not the 60s. So,
oh, yeah, in the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm so, sorry. Consequently, the technique was novel at the time. You weren't seeing that much of it. It was Dickie Goodman who was Cameron downtown.
I was born in 57, so...
All right, well, then you missed that. And the record came out, I don't know, it either came out in early July or late June, but by the end of July, the lawsuits were filed. You knew this was going to happen. Also, what was interesting is that for whatever reason, you had all these interviewed sources, anonymous, of course, talking about how terrible this was because, you know, it denigrates record sales and nothing's safe in our business. And yeah, right. And it wasn't actually the first song that did that drop in. I think Babs Gonzalez had Cool Whalin' in, but it was the first really popular thing. And of course, it was also at a time when, you know, the dreaded rock and roll menace, the Teenage Menace, and all that kind of stuff. So it went to court. And what was interesting is a judge refused to issue an injunction. And it stood up being labeled as artful, clever, and a parody. Remember, you can have a parody. So, it was really interesting, though, because, of course, what the publishers are trying to say is it's not a parody. It's essentially new work. Which would mean that, could you, couldn't you? Well, the bottom line is the courts ruled you could. And so you had a number of other people who did that as well. And around the time the Beatles were out, there were several as well. But what's interesting is the music publishers who were talking about how they were harmed, it turned out that sales of Earth, Angel, and Long Tall Sally increased.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It could turn around and use it as a promotion.
Yeah, and it pretty much was. There were so many lawsuits against them that it actually was a good thing because it set some standards in what you could or could not do.
Okay. Well, you know, when I was a jock, now many years ago, 30 plus years ago, I remember BMI Logging Week, ASCAP. And
yes,
BMI.
Of course.
And how would you do that record? You know, when you had
you're logging whatever the publisher is on the vinyl you're playing. Whatever it is what you put. You don't get into what was in it. Thank God you don't have to worry about that. You might have to put title, artist, label, and publisher, you know, whatever.
That's what we had to do. And then later what they did, Raleigh, at the station I was at, what they did later is because it was too cumbersome for, you know, all of us to write all this stuff, because we're doing our shows. And so what they did is they gave them a list of everything we had. And that's how it was printed up on a computer, and that's how they handled it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have to deal with it.
Right, of course. Yeah, I haven't seen those things in forever, really.
But when I first started, we had to handwrite
it
in.
Yes. If you were selected, of course, that was the week they would pick, and that was what you'd do. Of course. No, I remember it well. Back to the break-in records again. It becomes dicey, because in some cases, when you have all this now, you have that sampling in rap records and such like that. And they've been you're right, they've been litigated, and it's not black and white. In some cases the judge say that's okay, in other cases they say it's violation. So I don't know that it cleared it up as much as one would think, and I didn't keep into that, but I think Drake poached a Hamilton Joe Frank and Reynolds song, or somebody else did the Pretenders, well, that wants to be done, and on and on. So is it artistic interpretation? And I haven't followed that to see how some of those suits have come out, but I'm not sure that they'd be too successful given this.
No, it's interesting, because I forgot about the rap records, because they're doing a lot of that.
And I hear mixed reviews on that. Like I say, I'm long past my prime in knowing or caring about any of this. But somebody who does, it's terrible. But be it as it may, somebody could probably do a search to find out have any of those lawsuits been successful. They're always very publicized when somebody filed a $5 million suit against whoever. I don't know about the, and I'll look that up now that we're talking about it, but I don't know about the outcome of any of them.
Well, I was talking to John before we came on, and John is so knowledgeable. I mean, we had a nice long conversation about, when I came on, I was going to talk about the internet radio thing, and he told me about the Simple Radio app, and, I'm going to download that on my iPad. And my original question about the, because I have the internet radio devices, but a lot of times, Raleigh, I'm telling you the truth, I have two iPads now, and I'm using the one as a radio.
Okay.
And I pump it through the, I can feed it through a system, and it's a lot simpler than just kind of try to find these URLs. But the question I had was, when I try to extrapolate some of these URLs, is particularly like the iHeart, some of the iHeart stuff, may have like a question mark in the URL link. And I've been told that, it doesn't, when you try to type all that in, it doesn't work.
It will, as long as you get it right. It will. If the link will work on a Wi-Fi radio, it will work in Safari if you've got iPads, if you type it all in. But you got it. But the problem is that if the link is, 96 characters and they don't have any rhyme or reason, unless you can copy and paste, it's really hard to remember them.
Right. No, I copy and paste it and put it in the...
Yeah, it should work.
...the site, and it transfers over into the radio. But a lot of times it won't work, but...
Well, if it won't work, it's not because the URL is bad. It's because what you're trying to transfer isn't something that would be on a web page normally.
Is it? It's not compatible.
Right. Probably. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because your browser doesn't know what to do with it.
Right. Well, and the problem with the internet radio, Raleigh, is it doesn't have a web browser in it, and that's why. like when I go to somebody's, like if I go to the hospital for a doctor's appointment, Johns Hopkins,
right.
they have Wi-Fi,
right?
But you have to sign in.
Yes.
Now I can use a cell phone or my iPad, but if I took the internet radio just for the heck of it to see if it would work, and you can't do it because it won't work because you can't sign in.
Well,
agree to terms and.
Well, the agreeing to terms is the problem. You can sign in. I mean, as far as that goes, you can go ahead and put the passwords in and get there, but you're right. You will not be doing any of the agree to terms and all the things you would need to see.
Right.
That's absolutely true.
And it's because it doesn't have a browser in it.
Well, but now how about this? If you can do it with your phone, why not tether your phone and use the phone as your Wi-Fi, and then go ahead and put in the password of your Wi-Fi, you know, that you understand that.
Right.
You do that, then the phone becomes your wireless access point.
Right, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, your hotspot.
I was talking to John about that.
Yeah, it just becomes your hotspot. I use those all the time because one thing about it is, granted, if you're using your phone as a hotspot, your speed is not tremendous, but your privacy is so much better than the public Wi-Fi.
Right.
But you could do that in Johns Hopkins or anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
what I'm with. My next purchase is going to be, it's probably going to be either a cell phone or a...
And get one with unlimited data. You know, use the MVNOs.
Right.
I like Visible, but they're all okay. And hell, Verizon owns most of them, and they own Visible as well. But I wouldn't go with a name brand direct company. I'd definitely go with an MVNO and watch that data, because you know you get some great deals, and you find out how limited you are in data, and you're like, no, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I would go with unlimited
data.
Yeah,
and you could, you know, for depending if you're not looking to, you know, deal internationally and all that, you know, I think for Visible you can do it for $25 a month.
Yeah.
So
that's reasonable.
It's fairly cheapy.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
Well, thanks a lot.
Great to hear from you. Thank you.
Same. Thank you.
Okay, bye. All right.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Always good to hear from Nick. Makes my night. All right. So... let's see what we're going to do. We've waited long enough. Well, we're going to wait a couple minutes longer, I guess. But we're going to get to James and some stories, and then Barb and Andrew and you too coming up right here on WGN Radio.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I want you come and go every day.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. That's Bobby Patterson. We talked about him last week when we were talking about artists that were from Dallas. If he hadn't slipped out and got caught, he turned 80 today, Bobby did. Yeah, we played Is It Good Enough For You last week. He was also a jock on KKDA until 2012, and I believe that, yes, he turned 80 and he was still around to do it. All right, so happy birthday to Bobby Patterson. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Riley. And James on the south side. How's it going, James?
Fine. I'm still as far as the back goes, but I'll a few days okay of rest and keep some hot water, a heating blanket on it.
All right, well, I'm going to hope so. We're going to have to heal your phone, too, I think, here. I'm not sure, but it sounds like maybe. So, yeah. Oh.
I hope not, because I have the Concourse Reddit odd story.
Nope, you're...
What is this with, it was some down in Mississippi,
Okay, I'm gonna put you on hold because I'm not getting most of this, and James been waiting a while. I don't know if he has to dial back, or I really wish he used a landline. But anyway, we're gonna put him on hold, and we'll see what we can do to heal his phone. During the news, we'll work that out, I hope. But in the meantime, Barb in Yorkville, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, this is, you asked for Barb?
Yes, I did.
Okay, this is Barb. How are you, Raleigh?
Okay, how about yourself?
Okay, I'm got some music I want to talk about a little bit tonight, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
I love Bobby Vinton. I have an album of his. I love Bobby Vinton. All the songs on all of his records are beautiful.
Okay.
And I have the movie, The Buddy Holly Story, and I love that because when Buddy Holly was alive, he played a song called Oh Boy, and it's so much fun. I danced my gym shoes up when I was going to the youth center in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a great song.
Uh-huh.
Buddy Holly was, it was sad that he died so early, and so did the other ones with him.
Oh, of course.
He didn't even want to go. His wife didn't want him to go because it was around the holidays, but I guess the people ahead of him said they had to go.
Well, it was a package tour, and that's fairly common. You know, these guys didn't make too much money from the records. They made the money from the appearances. So
right,
that was doing business. Yeah.
It all started at a roller rink.
Well, not exactly, but okay. The tours were in every venue imaginable.
Oh, were they?
Of course. Yeah. So, anyway, I assume you want to hear Oh Boy.
Yes, please.
Then I will play that for you, and I'm glad you called, Barb. We'll play it for you next. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, so Barb wants to hear Oh Boy, and she will. You'll hear what you want to. If not tonight, well, coming up soon. Right now, you'll hear the news, whether you want to or not, on WGN Radio.
All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life, I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling, and you can hear my heart calling. A little bit of loving makes everything right. I'm gonna see my baby tonight. All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the world can see that you were meant for me. You're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's for Barb in Yorkville. And actually, that's not Buddy Holly on the label. Well, he's singing it all right. It's the Crickets, And you know, none of those early singles were ever credited to Buddy Holly and the Crickets. They were either credited to the Crickets or to Buddy Holly. And for the most part, if it was the Crickets, you were going to see it on Brunswick. If you were going to see Buddy Holly, you'd see it on Coral. Well, the reality is they're both the same label because they were both subsidiaries of Decca. But what was interesting is Norman Petty realized, hey, you know, if we're going to be releasing a lot of records, disc jockeys might be reluctant to play too many by the same artist. But, you know, if we have 1 week where we're saying, you know, we got a couple records out now, that'll be the day, and got one out by the Crickets called Oh Boy, and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's why that happened. But it wasn't always that all the Buddy Holly were Coral and all the Crickets were Brunswick. But for the most part, that's the way that worked. But anyway, regardless of label, it's still a fine song all the way around. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we're talking to James on the South Side, and we're going to see. Now, let's try this again. I don't know. We're going to see if James's phone has healed itself. So, all right, James, are you there?
Yes.
No, this is...
No,
James, you sound underwater. Do you have a landline at all?
All right.
Now here's the next thing. You're not using speakerphone, right?
No.
Okay. Now the next thing is make sure your hand is not anywhere over the speaker.
Okay. It's not. I'm going to move to where. Usually it does no interference, but I'm going that away.
Right now we're getting a lot of it, so you go ahead and walk and make sure your hand is not covering the speaker, and we'll talk about the Dollar General store in Wisconsin. And like I said, and this is one of James's stories, one of his 9,832 links, where a Dollar General, you know, every now and then you hear about workers who are, you know, take this job and shove it point and they leave. Well, rarely do you hear that it's the entire staff, including management, and apparently the store and all its employees in Mineral Point had been discussing their exit for months, actually. And at the end of their shift on Friday, they left. And they marked the occasion with a handwritten sign on the door saying, "We quit!" Right. And there was another sign that notified customers why they closed, and lack of appreciation, being overworked, being underpaid. But the other thing that they were really upset about, and this is more of a sticky wicket, this isn't so black and white, is they were upset that they could not donate a lot of the food, a lot of things that had not fully expired, to the food bank, that they were instructed by corporate to throw it away. And they said, you know, we know kids who'd love some Lucky Charms, and we've got to put them in the trash. We know some people who'd love some coffee, and we've got to throw it away. Now, interestingly, there is Feeding America's, and Feeding America's has a corporate donation set up, and they have explicit guidelines, and they say food approaching expiration is welcome, and canned goods are great donations, and on and on. But the Dollar General attorneys, who I don't think were answering about any of this, were saying, you won't do it. And as I say, it's not black and white, because lawsuits have occurred. But on the other hand, you'd hope that there was something that could be worked out rather than just throw it out. But the other thing is that minimum wage in Wisconsin is $7.25 an hour. I don't know what the workers were getting, but many of them were working 7 days a week for a long time. And they finally said, you know, that's it. The manager said she could only allot her staff to so many paid hours for a week, and when there was more work to be done, she wound up filling the gap often because she didn't have the money to schedule them when the store was open. And she had said, you know, until Friday night when we walked off the job this weekend was the first time off since Christmas for me. And so there you have it. Now, have you gotten to a good place, James, so to speak?
Yes. How does this sound?
Well, I heard the whole sentence, so it's certainly a start in the right direction. So, yeah, I love that story in terms of workers finally saying, I've had enough and I'm not taking it. And I think we've been seeing more of that really since the pandemic, where people are less willing to put up with conditions that are not advantageous. So it'll be interesting to see who comes in and works at the Dollar General store there in Mineral Point.
Yes, it will be. Although I suspect that they're going to be waiting a long time.
Well, they might, and that'll be interesting. Now, there was another story that really, really moved me on all fronts, because, you know, every now and then, all of us feel sorry for ourselves and have those bad days and have those pity parties and all that. And then you read about a man who lived in an iron lung since 1953. And the reason you read about him, of course, sadly, after a COVID diagnosis, he died. But the deal is that he not only thrived, and literally in an iron lung. I mean, that's not a description of something else. It's exactly what you'd think. He was living in an iron lung forever. And yet, at the same time, he was not only able to finish school, but he became a lawyer. He became a writer. He was successful. He actually litigated cases in courtrooms, and he became the first person to ever graduate from a high school in Dallas without ever attending a class in person. And then he went to SMU and then law school at UT Austin. And he represented clients in a three-piece suit and a modified wheelchair that held him upright because it paralyzed from the neck down. The reason he was in the iron lung, of course, is not because there was anything wrong with his lungs, but he just was incapable of literally moving a muscle. And he wrote a book, 3 Minutes for a Dog, My Life in an Iron Lung, and with a pen attached to a stick in his mouth. And when you read about this guy's accomplishments and his attitude, you say to yourself, I guess I don't have a problem in the world.
Yeah, that's true. He fought, I mean, he had a polio. He had been struck down by polio.
Yeah, at 6 years old.
And he managed to live that long and accomplish all that.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, hey, you say, hey, I got no problems at all.
Yeah, right. Living 70 years in an iron lung, and you know, I don't think too many of us are too aware of what this really means, because of course iron lungs aren't made anymore, and but the idea of a negative pressure device, which is kind of what you really need when your muscles are paralyzed, it's not a simple thing. So here's a guy who literally is enclosed in metal up to his neck and unable to move a muscle, and with that he's able to do all of this, and it's just unbelievable to me. Now, one thing I found really interesting, he was interviewed a while ago, and he said, well, once you live in an iron lung forever, it becomes part of your mentality. If somebody touches the iron lung, just touches it, I can feel it. I can feel the vibration to go through the iron lung. Now, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that is. And, okay, he had even pretty much outlived it.
Yeah, well, I know. He did outlive it.
It took a mechanic.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it took a mechanic to repair it.
Right. No, that's right, because there weren't any, but that's right. About 2015, 2016, he outlived it. Now, on top of that, you'd think that somebody who had achieved so much under such horrible odds that no one would, in fact, be around to take advantage of him, but sure enough, he had funds to care for his best interest, and he was taken advantage of. And so with that in mind, when the money wasn't there, a friend had set up a GoFundMe page, and I was pleased to see that they raised over $140,000. It's shut down now because he's no longer alive, but the remaining money will help pay funeral costs. And he said, you know, it's changed my life. And he was incredibly grateful. But I am just profoundly moved by the idea that anyone could achieve that kind of a life, being encased in metal for your entire life without moving.
Yeah, because the only thing I could think of is fairly close to, okay, there's been some cases, like there was the late Archbishop of Chicago, Francis Cardinal George, who actually survived, who, because he was partially crippled by it,
yeah,
he walked with a cane.
Yeah.
And he was able to continue going. I mean, he went, was around the world, was a missionary and that sort of thing. And he was able to do that, although at near the end of his life, because one of the cruelest things about polio, even if you survive, if you
You're
come
right.
back and walk
yes.
again, okay, you've lost a certain percentage of your muscle fibers.
Yes, absolutely.
So the ones that are left are just simply worn out.
Yeah, no, it's just a horrible, horrible disease. You betcha. So those were the two stories that got me. What was your favorite?
Okay. Oh, I was thinking of one where you might be fond of, the person who was 70 who had drank Coca-Cola for 50 years.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Everybody, the doctors were like thinking, oh, you're not supposed to do this and all of that. And the guy was like, he had no medical problems.
Right, right. Bewilder's doctor drank Coca-Cola exclusively. Now, I find it interesting because he's a Brazilian guy, by the way. And what I don't know, I hope that they're still using, real sugar rather than corn syrup there. But even when he was in the hospital, he wouldn't take the COVID-19 meds without taking them with a Coke. So,
That was nice to know about.
Well, I just read that he preferred Coke Zero. All right, now it is a wonder that he's alive, because God knows what's in that.
I think it's one of those artificial sweeteners.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. Before that, he'd been consuming regular Coke, but then he turned to Coke Zero. So now I got to look up the ingredients in Brazil. But what this tells you, really, I'd love to say it was something about Coca-Cola, but it's not. What it tells you is about some people's constitutions are just impervious. It's what God gave them in the gene pool, and he did well.
Yeah, somebody might say, oh, he has the constitution of a bull.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know how many bulls are drinking the Coke, though, but yeah.
Another story this young lady was cleaning out this room, and it had been the room of her older brother, who was 11 when she was born. But he had lived there long enough thereafter for her to really get to even know him, basically, because he died about a couple years after she was born.
Uh-huh.
And she happened to notice this group of letters that was basically dedicated to her.
Oh, wow.
He was so thrilled that she was part of his life, and he couldn't have been more thrilled.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. And then you had an interesting one. I couldn't see it because it was a video. I don't do videos, but about people drinking 2 liters of Mexican Coke every day. Well, that could be me.
When I saw that, I said, oh, my God, please. Even though I know you don't like videos, I said, okay, I know you like Mexican Coke.
Oh, do I ever. Yes, having one as we speak.
Yeah, and I said, I was going to make certain that those two stories got okay, that you had a chance to see them. Then there was the guy who took in the 7-year-old who had nobody else to turn to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have to just come across that one. I said, when we think about certain things and some of the cruelness, like there's like a story that's just circulating up from the north side where some guy who just got out of prison, he's going to be going back, and he'll probably be going back forever. Shot a 11-year-old right in the chest. Wounded his mother, who was pregnant, 8 months pregnant, so most likely that baby didn't survive. In a different state, Texas, he'd be Huntsville. Another one coming down there.
Yeah, well, not good. And then I'll close it out with, sure, again, how can we not close with a story of a young woman and her dog? That's right, a woman and her dog. I mean it in the worst way possible. So apparently, Laurel, Mississippi, there's nothing else to do there, another bestiality story. All right, now, by the way, this is not the first time. And that makes me really wonder what's in the water in Laurel. But as always, a marvelous bunch of stories, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, you take care. Yeah, it's been storming over here. That might have something to do with it, but I'm not completely certain, because it stopped storming when how you finally finally got to me.
Well, you're cutting in and out. Happened. You're cutting in and out again. So I'm glad we had this time together because it's sounding like it's bad again. So I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, James. I appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And Pete is in Minnesota. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Pete, have we lost Pete? Yes, Pete gave up on me. He was talking about Dollar General closing stores and their financial problems, and absolutely they've got financial problems. But and, you know, that's a terrible thing. But on top of that, they treat their employees in such a way that in one case they all walked out en masse. Stephanie and Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I just wanted to call and say, hey, James from the South Side is one of my favorite people on your show. I really enjoy him a whole lot in the stories that he comes up and. But well, I have family that lived in the Dodgeville Mineral Point area. Mineral Point is a really beautiful town. Mm-hmm. It is just very historical. A lot of history. But yeah, that boy Dollar General got what they deserved. Good for those people. Yeah. You know, good on them. Yeah. Really. Got to thank you also for Buddy Holly. It's like one of my absolute favorite Buddy Holly songs. And I swear my husband told me once, who did the scream and who did that, you know, but he didn't remember. He's watching YouTube. I'm on hold for Raleigh, but I love that song. But I also want to thank you for the Barbara Wilson take of...
Oh, yeah.
I had to call you about that. And I've been walking around singing that song. Who wrote Every Little Bit Hurts? You know.
It was a demo, so it couldn't have been. Barbara Wilson did it as a demo. Because I thought that she wrote it, but I don't think she could have.
Right.
But let's...
Brenda Holloway wrote... I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk.
Ed Cobb wrote it. That was it. Ed Cobb wrote it.
That's a great song.
Yeah, no, but yeah, she did write "You Made Me So Very Happy" and a lot of other things I know. But yeah, Ed yeah. Cobb wrote "Every Little Bit Hurts," so that's how that happened.
That is such a phenomenal song.
John,
love it.
John just said I didn't play commercials, so he says I have to go right now. I thought I did, so I'm going away and we'll see.
Bye bye.
I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Likewise. All right, so we'll find out on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Forgive me for everybody I left hanging, but pretty much the show has come to an end. Yes, that's right. I mentioned Ed Cobb, by the way, and he also wrote Tainted Love, as you know, and also Dirty Water for the Standells and a lot of other things, too, and he managed the Four Preps, so he was the real deal if you didn't know, and he's the one who wrote Every Little Bit Hurts. So, on that note, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. We've got 3 hours to get together tomorrow night. I hope you will call me. Until then, that's it on WGN Radio.